Several little white puffs of smoke appeared sharply against the black background of riders and horses, and shots rang out. Bullets struck far in front of Venters and whipped up the dust and then hummed low into the sage. The range was great for revolvers, but whether the shots were meant to kill or merely to check advance, they were enough to fire that waiting ferocity in Venters. Slipping his arm through the bridle so that Wrangle could not get away, Venters lifted his rifle and pulled the trigger twice. He saw the first horseman lean sideways and fall. He saw another lurch in his saddle and heard a cry of pain. Then Wrangle, plunging in fright, lifted Venters and nearly threw him. He jerked the horse down with a powerful hand and leaped into the saddle. Wrangle plunged again, dragging his bridle that Venters had not had time to throw into place. Bending over with a swift movement, he secured it and dropped the loop over the pommel. Then, with grinding teeth, he looked to see what the issue would be. The band had scattered so as to not to afford such a broad mark for bullets. The riders faced Venters, some with red belching guns. He heard a sharper report, and just as Wrangle plunged again, he caught the whim of a leaden missile that would have hit him but for Wrangler's sudden jump. A swift, hot wave, turning cold, passed over Venters. Deliberately, he picked out the one rider with a carbine and killed him. Wrangle snorted shrilly and bolted into the sage. Venters let him run a few rods, then with iron arm checked him. Five riders, surely rustlers, were left. One leaped out of the saddle to secure his fallen comrade's carbine. A shot from Venters, which missed the man but sent the dust flying over him, made him run back to his horse. Then they separated. The crippled rider went one way. The one frustrated in his attempt to get the carbine rode another. Venters thought he made out a third rider, carrying a strange-appearing bundle and disappearing in the sage. But in the rapidity of action and vision, he could not discern what it was. Two riders with three horses swung out to the right. Afraid of the long rifle, a burdensome weapon seldom carried by rustlers or riders, they had been put to rout. Suddenly, Venters discovered that one of the two men last noted was riding Jane Witherstein's horse Bells, the beautiful bay racer she had given to Lassiter. Venters uttered a savage outcry. Then the small, wiry, frog-like shape of the second rider and the ease and grace of his seat in the saddle, things so strikingly incongruous, grew more and more familiar in Venters' sight.
"Jerry Card!" cried Venters.
It was indeed Tull's right-hand man. Such a white-hot wrath inflamed Venters that he fought himself to see with cleaner gaze.
"It's Jerry Card!" he exclaimed instantly. "And he's riding Black Star and leading Night!"
The long-kindling, stormy fire in Venter's heart burst into flame. He spurred Wrangle, and as the horse lengthened his stride, Venter slipped cartridges into the magazine of his rifle till it was once again full. Card and his companion were now half a mile or more in advance, riding easily down the slope. Venters marked the smooth gait and understood it when Wrangle galloped out of the sage into the broad cattle trail, down which Venters had once tracked Jane Witherstein's red herd. This hard-packed trail, from years of use, was clean and smooth as a road. Venters saw Jerry Card look back over his shoulder. The other rider did likewise. Then the three racers lengthened their stride to the point where the swinging canter was ready to break into a gallop.
"Wrangle, the race is on," said Venters grimly.